We've been looking at 2 Timothy, and in each part, as we go through it, pretty much verse by verse, each part of this epistle we're considering how Paul taught to propagate the gospel of salvation. Paul taught Timothy to commit to faithful men what Paul had committed to Timothy, and part of that teaching was how to propagate the gospel and the doctrine. It's not merely a matter of teaching, of Paul teaching and his teaching Timothy, Timothy teaching faithful men and faithful men teaching others also, for them to teach others and etc. Go on, generation after generation. That's definitely true. But that's not the whole picture. There's a lot more to it. It's sticking to Paul's doctrine. It's following the way that he lived and the things that he did and in reflection of Christ. Paul lived out Christ's life as an example. And that does not mean that he was perfect or that he always lived it out. As part of Paul's doctrine, he gave us instructions about how to go against the infirmities of the flesh. That's what Romans 6, 7, and 8 is about. That's the topic there. Every believer needs to know those chapters. Once you're a believer, Romans 1 through 5, you get to Romans 6, 7, and 8. And students that study, they come to that and they learn and they're able to handle those kind of things. Just like pretty much what the lesson was about in the previous lesson that we listened to. But read them. Read them enough that you've studied them and can apply them in your daily life. Those chapters 6, 7, and 8 in Romans. Well, let's get to the verses. 2 Timothy 4:11. Only Luke. Just hold on a second here. Just a minute. Let me get this back to normal. Now I can see it. Okay. 2 Timothy 4:11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark. Bring him with thee. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. Don't assume that that verse, it means more than it actually says. Don't put words in there. Here we see again that those of the circumcision would help Paul. They would help him after they saw that Israel had fallen. And that God had started offering salvation directly to the Gentiles that believed that Christ died for their sins and resurrected the third day for their justification. And you may recall in Acts 15:38 regarding John Mark, Paul rejected John Mark from going with them to the next apostolic journey that they had to had the route to travel, because in Acts 13:13 John Mark went not with them to the work. Let's look at those verses starting with Acts 15:38. Posted there. Thank you for posting that. But Paul thought it not good to take with them, to take him with them who departed from them in Pamphylia. And went not with them to the work. The work was a specific calling. Acts 13:13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John, that's John Mark, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. He went not with them to the work. The work is a specific calling. And it's prophetic. It's a prophetic calling in Habakkuk 1:5. Now, that doesn't mean that the mystery was in Habakkuk 1:5. It's just, well, here's the verse, Habakkuk 1:5. Behold ye among the heathen. So Habakkuk is one of God's prophets to Israel. And he's talking to Israel and he says, behold ye, ye being Israel, among the heathen. The heathen would be the Gentiles, the Gentile nations where they were scattered. But he's still talking to Israel. Behold ye, Israel, among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, Israel's days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. But after that retreat by John Mark, it's good to hear that Paul could use him, as we read in 4:11, 2 Timothy 4:11, could use him for the work of the body of Christ. Even though the Bible does not say whether John Mark had become part of the remnant according to the election of grace coming into the body of Christ. It's unclear. It's unclear whether Christ called John Mark by the gospel of God and then the gospel of the kingdom to be part of Israel in the land, or whether Christ called John Mark by the gospel of God and then the gospel of Christ to be part of the body of Christ. It was one or the other. Christ does not rotate callings back and forth. But here in 2 Timothy 4:11, we also see the importance of propagating the ministry. The ministry is a key phrase. Paul stopped using the term the work for what he was doing and started using it, calling it the ministry. And he did that when Christ sent him to all men. Look in Ephesians 4:11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And you can go through and see the progression there in your studies. But back to 2 Timothy 4:11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So John Mark was going to help Paul with what Peter called the present truth. In 2 Peter 1:12, the present truth was what the truth of God had come to be. Current to that time that Paul wrote 2 Peter, after Christ sent Paul to all men. And Peter had recognized Paul's inspiration and leadership from God. God's inspiration of Paul. Paul leading Paul and Paul's willingness to follow. That would also be after Galatians 2:9, when Paul and Peter, had shaken hands in agreement to go their separate sendings. They would go to where Peter would go to who he was sent to. Matthew 10:5, go you not into the way of the Gentiles, but the lost sheep, go to the lost sheep of Israel. And Paul was sent to the Gentiles, far hence to the Gentiles. Remember that the work during a dispensation of the gospel of Christ to the Jews and the Greeks from Acts 13:2 through Acts 20, verse 6. It was, that was the beginning and end of it, as I see it. I don't know of a verse that says the beginning was at exactly at that point, but it's pretty clear to me that that's when they were sent. I think the word sent is used, isn't it, there in Acts 13:2? Let me just check that. Acts 13:2. I'm looking it up. Oh, there it is. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Okay, that's a calling, which is similar. But go to verse 4, Acts 13:4. So they being sent, so they were sent, sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So they were sent from that point, and that sending to the Jews and the Greeks, Jew first and also to the Greek, that ended at the beginning of the gospel that Paul identifies in Philippians 4:15. We're getting away from the line of the verses here, but just a few more comments and then we'll get right back into it. when Paul writes from Israel's prophecies about the work, he's responding with a dispensation or dispensing of the gospel. The dispensation of the gospel of Christ was what went on in the body of Christ during Israel's work, the work that was prophesied for Israel. They were at parallel, they were both going on at the same time. The work for that was regarding Israel, and that they would be told it but would not believe it, that we read in Habakkuk 1:5. Well, that was at the same time as a dispensation of the gospel of Christ. The mystery gospel of Christ was what was being dispensed. The work was the prophetic side of that situation during the time of the little flock. Paul's gospel of Christ would save the believing Jews and Greeks, and their salvation provoked, and that's a key word, it provoked the disbelieving Jews to jealousy, so that some of them believed the gospel of God as Paul wrote about it in Romans 11:11, and confirmed in Habakkuk 1:5 and Romans 10:19. We don't have to look those up. Yeah, if you want, you know, there they are. Romans 11:11, Habakkuk 1:5, and Romans 10:19. But we're going to go on. When those apostate synagogue Jews believed the gospel of God, they became able to hear and believe whichever gospel of salvation Christ had called them to believe, according to 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Let's look at that, a key verse again. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, whereunto he called you by our gospel. And that's the part we're looking at. God calls people by the gospel. Today it's only Paul's gospel. There's no gospel of the circumcision or gospel of the kingdom that's available that God is saving people by anymore. They fell. Israel fell and lost that privilege. They can individually come to God the way we can, the way Gentiles can, by believing that Christ died for their sins. For their sins. Their sins are all died for. Jesus took them all to the cross. And that he was buried and rose again the third day. So, back to verse 2, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's look at Acts 13 and those verses there. In that sending that occurred, starting in verse 1, Acts 13:1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch, and it's significant that it was the church at Antioch of Pisidia, not the church at Jerusalem. There were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So that makes five that they list. I don't know that it's limited to those five. There might have been others in that prayer meeting or prophets and teachers meeting. I don't know. But we know those five were. And verse 2, he goes on, he says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work. So there the work appears early in Paul's ministry in Acts. For the work whereunto I have called them. So they were, being in the body of Christ, they were called to minister during that dispensation of the gospel. They were to minister to Israel, something that God said they won't believe it, even though they're told it. Okay, and that we find out that's the gospel of Christ. What they would have, if had they believed it, they would have brought in the kingdom. Christ would have brought in the kingdom. That's what they rejected Christ about. The gospel of God. They didn't believe the gospel of God that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. Those three things. The sonship of Jesus, the Messiahship of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus. So, going on, they were called, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Now that's those five people that were listed in verse 1, sending away the two, Saul and Barnabas. Barnabas and Saul. That's the sending of those five men. They sent them away. That's plural. They sent them away. You get to the next verse, though. Acts 13. Now, let me just say, there's a reason for seeing the separation here, because later on, Luke, who wrote Acts, says that, I think it's Acts 14:26, says that, well, says that that ended. But they're not without a commission, without ascending for the rest of Acts until you get to... I'm getting off the track again. They being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. So there's the sending by the Holy Ghost in verse 4. See, in verse 3, the men send them, and in verse 4, the Holy Ghost sends them, and they leave at the... Saul and Barnabas leave at the same time, but they're sent by two factions. By the Holy Ghost, which lasts. That's a lasting... sending, and by those five men, which the sending by the Holy Ghost didn't end in Acts 14:26. The sending in the dispensation of the gospel of Christ continued until Christ widened Paul's sending in the dispensation of the grace of God to all men. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Paul received the ministry in Acts 20, verse 6, as reported 18 verses later in Acts 20, verse 24. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. He had been given this course to follow, this ever since Acts 9. In Acts 9:15, the Holy Ghost speaks it to Ananias, his Paul's course. He goes on here, there's an additional thing. He says, And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's the first time that gospel of the grace of God is mentioned in the Bible. The very first time. It wasn't mentioned before. The gospel of Christ is mentioned 11 times. But the ministry was from the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God. The ministry, quote, in quotes, that term was from the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God, and it was in the dispensation of the grace of God. Called that in Ephesians 3:2, the dispensation of the grace of God. It's not just a happen-so phrase to be used. And that extended from Acts 20, verse 6, until the fullness of the Gentiles become into the body of Christ. See how Paul identifies the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God to all men. We look in Philippians 4:15. And just a moment, please. Philippians 4:15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, and that's a significant phrase there, there was a beginning to the gospel that Paul is talking about. The beginning of the gospel is revealed in Philippians 4:15. Now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia. So he pegs it at a certain time. Paul tells us right there in that verse when it was that it began. When did the gospel of the beginning of the gospel begin? Well, it was when he sailed away from, or departed from Macedonia, it says. We have to trace back and see when that was, when he departed from Macedonia. Well, the whole verse, Philippians 4:15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So Paul left Philippi, Macedonia in Acts 20, verse 6. It says, and we sailed away from Philippi. Now, in Acts 16:12, it tells us that Philippi is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. So, Paul said, we sailed away from Philippi. And that's Acts 20, verse 6. It's what Paul had identified as the beginning of the gospel. Well, since Acts 13, verses 38 and 39, Paul had already been preaching the gospel of Christ. So, Paul's not talking about the gospel of Christ beginning as late as Acts 20. Paul has to, he has to be referring to a later gospel. It's the same saving message as the gospel of Christ, but it's sent to a wider audience, all the Gentiles, or as the Bible puts it, the far-off Gentiles. And so it's given a different name to distinguish it. Obviously, God is very accurate about those things. The saving message stopped being called the gospel of Christ, sent to the Jews and the Greeks, and started being called the gospel of the grace of God, sent to all men. That was the beginning of the gospel, when Paul departed from Philippi, Macedonia. Oh, okay, back to 2 Timothy now. only, this is 2 Timothy 4:11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Paul's writing here in 2 Timothy, and it confirms the use of the term the ministry after Acts 20. He says he's profitable to me for the ministry. Verse 12, and Tychicus I sent to Ephesus. Verse 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And this shows that Paul did suffer at least coldness in the dungeon. Let's look at Colossians 1:24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, not for our sin's sake, for Christ's body's sake, which is the church. And here Paul is not talking about suffering afflictions for our sins, but rather suffering afflictions for the sake of the church, which is his body, that we would hear the gospel of salvation. 2 Timothy 4:13, the cloak that I left with left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. He makes a distinction there and an emphasis. Paul does not make a distinction of some sort there. He makes a distinction. And it is, as you look at it, he says, and the books, but especially the parchments. And I take that to mean, bring not just the writings, but also the scriptures, the copies of the scriptures. Let's take an example. Paul was still studying the Word of God. We should be still studying the Word of God. Take that example to ourselves. Since he needed to continue studying the Bible, then we certainly need to. Since he needed to continue, and through it was throughout this dispensation of the grace of God, our main resource and our final authority is the preserved, pure Word of God, found unchanged in the King James Version of the Bible. Our final authority is not the preacher, it's not the teacher, it's not the guy or gal on the radio or TV. It's the Word of God, and you hold it in your hands. You have it. You can hold it and be glad to have it. You can open it, read it. And that's how the Holy Spirit speaks to us today. He has written it all down in a book. It doesn't... The Holy Spirit doesn't speak to us with a physical voice. He speaks through his holy writings. They're unchangeable. They're down on paper. Let God speak to you. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay, well, I'm done for tonight. We do have another lesson next week, Thursday or Friday, probably Thursday. And that should finish the entire book of, or epistle of 2 Timothy.